Okay, we're on Daf Chav tonight. Right. So, if you remember in the Gemara from yesterday, first of all, Yosef was right. If a person knows that he's going to divorce the wife, he shouldn't have relations with her. I'll pick up five lines from the bottom on Yud Tanam Beis 19b, five lines from the bottom. So it says, Tana Rabbanan, everybody with me? All right. Tana Rabbanan, Matzah Shovar. If a person finds a shovar is a receipt. He finds this receipt. He says, Bisman Shaisha Moda. If the woman, there should be a yad with that, Aaron. Is there a yad? Shaisha Moda, when the woman admits that she was paid the money. In other words, this is for her ksuba. In other words, the husband, every husband, when he marries, he makes a commitment to the wife that if the marriage terminates, he's going to pay her a whole, plunk of money. So if she wrote a shovar, a receipt for the ksuba, so bizman she'isha moda, if she acknowledges that she got the money, zir the baal. So then you should give that shovar to the husband. He says, Ina Ishimoto. The woman says, no, I never got paid for this. He says, Lo yachzir lo lezev. He shouldn't give the shofar to either party. I don't know if it's a good shofar or it's a bad shofar. We're not giving it to either party. So that's the brisa. We did this last night. It's just a review. All right, so we're doing slower now. What? Shofar is the receipt. The receipt is called a shofar. Right, that's it. And the shofar means like it's that which breaks the claim. In other words, like she got the claim of ksuva, the shofar. Okay. So he says, so the Gemara says, the bottom line is, though, if the woman acknowledges that she got payment, we're going to give this shofar to the husband. Why don't we have to be choshesh that maybe she drafted this document in Nisan and she didn't give it to him until Tishrei? In other words, I guess she was anticipating things were coming apart, and she drafted the shofar in Nisan, didn't give it to the husband till Tishrei. In the meantime, she's quite an active lady. She sells her ksuba as commercial paper. In other words, the ksuba has a certain price, like a market price, so she sells it. The market price will not be the face value, but it would be something. Let's look at Rashi, eight lines from the bottom. Betovad hana'a, klomar bezol, at a discount rate. The purchaser is putting, giving his money based on a possibility. If she dies and predeceases, the husband and the marriage is still going, he loses his whole investment, so to speak. But if the husband dies first or he divorces her, so the purchaser will be in her shoes. Be back to Batal. He'll be able to collect the ksuba. So the husband at that point shouldn't pay her the ksuba. Or we'll see in the Gemara in a minute. So he says, so three lines to the bottom. Maybe why are we not concerned for this possibility? We're giving the shofar back to the husband. Why are we concerned that maybe she drafted it in Nisan, didn't give it to Matishrei? Then in the interim, she sold the rights to the ksuba. It means then she got paid off from the husband from the ksuba. So she shouldn't have gotten paid off. She's quite, well, quite a woman. In other words, that she sells the ksuba, and then she there's the possibility. And then the husband pays her for the ksuba, which she sold it, so she shouldn't be accepting money from it. The husband pays her. She's the shofar to the husband. He says, but then the husband is going to take the shofar. The shofar is dated as of Nisan, but he only paid her off in Tishrei. And then with the shofar, he'll be able to go, let's say, the purchaser of the ksuba had seized the property in satisfaction of the ksuba, but he'll show the shofar. The shofar is dated, before the divorce, and then he'll in other words, the shofar is dated before the sale of the ksuba. So he'll be able to, preempt the purchaser or of the ksuba and deprive him of his purchase. Why are we not concerned about this possibility? In other words, we find a shofar, floating around in the street. And we say, she says that the money is still due and owing. Give it. I got the money. Give it back to the husband. Maybe who knows what took place with this? No, he did. He did. He paid her. He paid her. He did pay her the ksuba. In other words, the she wrote the shofar in Nisan, and then between Nisan and Tishrei, she sells the rights to the ksuba, and then he pays her the ksuba in Tishrei, but the shofar is dated Nisan. So he's going to go with the shofar and say, as of Nisan, whatever is under this ksuba is mine. The property you seize is not was improperly yours. So he says. So Amar Rava, the top line on Chaf Min Aleph, Amar Rava, Shmamina Itu L'Shmul. So Rava says from the fact that the Braisa holds this way, and the Tana of the Braisa is not concerned for the possibility that we just described, it sounds like Allah is like Shmuel. The Amar Shmuel, Hamokher Sharchov L'Chaveiro, Shmuel says if somebody sells a Sharchov, an IOU, if Reuven sells an IOU note to Shimon, again, like whether you sell the Ksuba or a Sharchov, the same idea. He says, Bechazer Machalo, and then the seller is Mochel L'Chov, Machul, Bafil Yorish Mochel. In other words, we discussed this yesterday, we discussed this in the past. It sets the Yuviyamaka, the and even the Yoresh is Mochel, so it means that even after, in other words, the woman, even after she sells the ksuba, kim kimi mochel the chov, kimi mochel the chov, and then the purchaser is up a creek. So even if the scenario would be the way we just described it, we don't know what the scenario is. We found the shofar, but even if the scenario is the way we described it, the woman can be mochelet whatever chov exists under the document. So if she's mochel the ksuba in favor of the husband later on, that's it. The guy is out of gas. The guy's out of gas. So we think that Braisa supports Shmuel. So in line three, Abaye Amar Afilu Teima late to the Shmuel. Abaye wants to deflect the proof for Shmuel. Abaye says, you don't have to hold from Shmuel. He says, Hachab I could say, what is the Tana of the Braisa talking about? Yado. In other words, that we find this shofar floating around the street, and the woman says, my husband paid for it, and that's his shofar, and then she is in possession of the ksuba. So that's the case the Braisa is talking about. So if she had sold the ksuba, she would not be in possession. The buyer would have had in possession of it. So Abaye wants to say maybe the Braisa is talking about the woman says, I have the ksuba and I issued the shofar and the shofar goes to the husband. Then we don't have to get in this whole zach with Shmuel. So he says, Virava Amar, Rava wants to reinstate the proof. Virava Amar, Imishum Shtark Tuba, Chayshin Tubo. Rava says, even if you'd say the case is the way you Abaye want to say it, that the woman is coming in and she's got a ksuba in her hand, so I'm not afraid that, if she had sold the ksuba, there could still be a case where the husband had issued two ksubas to her. Maybe she sold ksuba number one to this guy, and then she's got ksuba number two. But Abaye says in response, in rebuttal, very remote that anybody would issue two ksubas. I'm not worried about that scenario. But Ode, Shovar Bismano Tari. In addition to which, Abaye holds, and we've been through this before, but we'll clarify in a minute. Abaye holds that when somebody issues a document, even if it's predated, that the document is effective as of the date of the document. So Abaye holds that in other words, if she issued a shofar, in other words, she drafted the shofar in Nisan, and the Edom signed it in Nisan, and then the husband paid her off in Tishrei, and she gives him the shofar in Tishrei. The shofar, according to Abaye, is effective retroactively as of Nisan. He says, Abaye the Tame Damar Eda B'Chatum Mizakeh. We had this before. Abaye holds that the Edom who signed the document are Mizakeh to the person that's stated in the document. So even in that scenario, so Abaye has a way to learn the Braisa, and the Braisa makes sense according to Abaye, even without holding from Shmuel's din, even from not holding from Shmuel's din. Okay, so let's just summarize what we did, then we'll take questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, so we learned the Braisa. We've been talking about lost documents basically in the sugyas in the previous, about a week or so we've been in it. So the So today we discussed if you found a shofar receipt floating around the street, and the woman says, "Yeah, I wrote it, and my husband paid me the money. We give it back to the husband." So the Gemara wants to say, "Well, who knows? You know what took place with the shofar? Maybe she drafted the shofar in Nisan and didn't give it to the husband until Tishrei, which is when he divorced and paid her for the ksuba. And in the interim, he maybe sold the ksuba to somebody else, and then the husband." We'll take this shofar and he'll pull the land away from the purchaser of the ksuba, which isn't really doesn't seem fair. In other words, the person that she sold the ksuba to, he seized land in satisfaction of the ksuba. In other words, the ksuba is a collection document. Maybe there might have been a specific piece of land that was designated for the ksuba. He seized the land. Maybe it might have been Black Acre. He seized Black Acre. So the husband will go and say, "Black Acre is mine because my shofar predates whatever date my wife sold the ksuba to you."
Yeah, I
So,
paid it off already in September.
right, you know, but in other words, but it's, the shofar is dated Nisan. So I'm entitled to it. If you got this land after Nisan, so you bought, like a bill of goods because the ksuba ostensibly, was paid off already at that point in time. So the Gemara says, so from the fact that we're not concerned about that scenario, sounds like Shmuel's halacha is correct. Shmuel holds that. If I have a shtar chov and I sell it to, in other words, this says that Seth owes Yosef, $10,000, and I sell this document to Yosef, so Yosef can collect the debt from Seth, I can still be mokel the chov even after I've sold the document. I spoke about it yesterday. There's a shibud aguf and a shibud mamon. So in other words, so I'm selling the shibud mamon, but there's still a shibud aguf between. That's the way the Baalei Tosfot would understand it. So, in other words, there's an inherent connection between me and the loave. So, the Gemara wants to say that it must be the Shmuel's halacha is correct. So, Abaye says, no. Well, who says it? Not necessarily. Maybe we're talking about it here, the Braisa, that the wife, she says, yeah, give the shofar back to the husband, but she's in possession of the ksuba. If she sold the ksuba, she wouldn't be in possession of it. She's in possession of the ksuba, so it's not even an issue. So then Rabba says, yeah. But even if she's in possession of it, who's to say that the husband didn't write two ksubas? So Abaye says, listen, I'm not worried about two ksubas. That's such a remote thing. In addition to which, Abaye holds, for other reasons, that there's nothing to worry about in this case, because Abaye holds that the shofar is effective as of the date it's on the shofar. Because Abaye holds, if you have a document, and you didn't sign the document, and the date on the document is Nisan, even if the document is only given over in Tishrei, the document is effective retroactively as of Nisan, in which case the husband indeed, he owned all the rights to the ksuba as of Nisan. Okay, who's got questions, comments, thoughts on anything we did so far? What's up, Rafi? Yeah. Wait, I don't understand the question. Yeah, that's a good question. Yeah, so the Gemara has a question about whether you write a shofar even by a shtar chov. In other words, like if you have an IOU note, there's a question whether we write a receipt for the IOU note or not. So according to one side, you always have to have the shtar chov, and then the loave gets the shtar chov. But according to another side, that maybe the malbit doesn't have the shtar chov, so you can write a shofar. Now with the ksuba, I don't know why she would write the shofar instead of giving him the ksuba. I don't know the answer to that. Okay. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right, let's go further. Okay. Now up to the next Mishnah on Chaf and Aleph around line 10. Now, up until now, we've been discussing about finding documents and not returning them. Either we've been afraid maybe they were paid up, or and whether there's a kinunia, there's a collusion between the two parties, or the thing was like drafted, from an earlier date or things like that. Now we're going to talk about a series of documents where we're not worried about any of those things because these are documents that are drafted by the court, and there's no problem in returning these documents. Okay, manitin, matzah igrot shom. If a person found now igrot shom. Rashi says, this is a document that states that the Beis Din, authorized the seizure of the debtor's property by the Malveh, and it's issued by the Beis Din. So, Mamela, if I find that document, I certainly can return it to the malveh. In other words, it's issued by the Bez, there's no problem returning that document to the malveh. The Igrot Mazon is a statement by the Bez Din that acknowledging that the husband accepted responsibility to pay for his stepdaughter's support, and we would give it to the stepdaughter. He says shtari chalitza miyunim. Now shtar chalitza is if a woman went through chalitza, so the Bezdin would issue a document stating that she went through chalitza, and then we give that document to the woman that went through chalitza. And a shtar miyun is if a girl is married off, the father is not in the picture. The father is if she's a ketana, the father can marry her off. If the father's not alive, her mother or her brothers can marry her off, but then she has the right of miyun. She can opt out of it. So if she opts out of the marriage, the Bezdin will issue the shtar and will give it to the girl. Again, it's nothing to worry about. The Bezdin issued it. Ushtari Beirurin. So the Gemara is going to ask what Shtari Beirurin are. The Gemara is going to say, Shtari Beirurin, we don't know this yet, is either that it's a shtar that lists what the taina of each party was. So in other words, that Reuven was towing A and Shimon was towing B. And there was litigants, and there was the arguments of the litigants, and it locks the litigants into the arguments. In other words, they can't change their arguments later on because they're locked into it. So the only thing I was bothered with, who do we return the document to? So the way that Rabbi Packer thought was if you have two litigants, let's say you have a shtar, again, it's issued by the Bez Din. Rabbi Packer thought if Reuven has arguments, I'd return his arguments to Shimon. And if Shimon has arguments, I'd return it to Reuven. Or the other way, and then it could be that the shtar, another pshat, a different pshat, shtar Beirurin, is sometimes each side picks a dayan, and then those two dayan and pick a third dayan. So shabbi ruin again the same thing that with the pick of each side. Now b'chol maasei beitin, b'chol maasei beitin means anything issued by the court harezi yaksir. So you return that document to the person that the bezin meant it to have it. In other words, okay, that's clear. Now second case matzab chafisa over luskama. If a person found a document or a chafisa or d'luskama, we don't know what a chafisa or d'luskama is right now. The Gemara is going to ask what a chafisa or d'luskama is, but the Gemara is going to say that we don't know this yet. The chafisa is like a wine skin, a leather skin, like to hold wine. It doesn't hold wine, obviously, put the document in. Or d'luskama is a box, and we'll explain more in the Gemara. It means that if there's a siman that it belongs to the person, we're going to give it back to him. So in some way, when you found the document in a chafisa or d'luskama, The way the Rashi understands it is that the person will say, "I found a document," and he'll say, "Oh, you found it in this chafisa or this d'luskama." So then we'll give it back to him. He says, "Or there's another different case. Or you found a tachrich shel shtarot. You found a roll of documents. Means a roll of documents rolled together. Or a guda shel shtarot, or a bundle of documents." So it'll come out from the Gemara that the bundle is really similar to the roll. We'll see in a minute. Hareza yaksir, you'll give it back to the person, and it means he'll be able to have a siman with it, and we'll see what the siman is with this. Okay. Bekama aguda shel shtarot. What's an aguda, a bundle of shtarot? Shoshak shurin zebazer. Three documents tied to one another. We'll see ties are really tied. Okay. Rav Shimon ben Elmer, different case. If I find, let's say, three documents, and one document is that Reuven borrowed from Shimon, the next is Reuven borrowed from Levi, and the next is Reuven borrowed from Yehuda, and I find those three documents together, so I'll give it, the same borrower, different lenders, I'll give it to the borrower because how did anybody get those three documents together? The lenders wouldn't have it together. The borrower would have it together. So that's the borrower. Shosha halovin mina echad. But if I threw three documents with the same lender and different borrowers, yaksir l'malva. I'll give it to the malva. It's the opposite case. Okay, now, matashtar bin shtarotav, the way Rashi understands it is, I have different documents, and if I find in my documents, like a document between two parties, I don't know who they are. In other words, David lent money to Sam, and I don't remember anything about this document. He says, I don't know if it was paid off, not paid off, partially paid off. I leave it till Eliyahu comes, Eliyahu Navi. Then a different case, We don't know the pshat yet, but it's going to be if I have documents and they're ripped up, and among the ripped documents I find a receipt, so then I should give full force and effect to the receipt. In other words, most likely I had drafted this receipt and the Lova never picked it up, and it was an acknowledgement that he had paid off the debt because he had, because since the receipt is found among documents that I ripped up, Mistama, that's what happened. Okay, that's the Mishnah. Everybody good so far? The Igrot Shum, yeah, that's a document from the Bezdin that the Bezdin has evaluated the property, the Lova, and authorized the Malva. In other words, it's confirming that the Malva was authorized to seize those dot was it was authorized to seize that property. Okay, all right. Now the Gemara says, "My shtari berurin." We covered this already outside. What are shtari berurin? So hakat tir gimu shtari tanata. So here in Babel, they explain it shtari tanata. So that means the parties, right? Rabbi Yirmiyah Amar zebor reir lo echad. Rabbi Yirmiyah said there's like a type of bez and maybe birds zabla. You know, zebor reir lo echad. Zayin beis lamed aleph means that you have two litigants. Each litigant picks a dayan, and the two dayanim pick a third dayan, and so it's the dayan where it lists the choice of the litigants. So once they made that choice, they're locked into it. So we return it. So the way Rabbi Packer was saying, give it like to the other party. Okay. All right. Now, all right. Any questions? Everybody good? Okay. So four lines from the bottom. The whole maaseh beitin erez the yaks here. So any like action from the Bezdin, you give it to the party that it was meant to go from the Bezdin. So now here's a Gemara that you had on Sunday. So it's a little bit of repetition for Daf Yomi people, but eventually everything will be repetition for you, right? Because the Gemara is just okay. So it says, "Hahuki tadishtakach beidina d'Rabuna." It was a get that was found in the base medrash of Rav Huna, d'Havatibe b'Shviri Mata Rakis Nara. It says that it's from the city of Shviri that's on Rakis Nara, on the Rakis River. So Rashi points out, let's look at Rashi, the last line of Rashi. Rashi says it was also the signatures on this on the get were verified in Bezdin. The shliach that was bringing it, he stopped off in the base medrash and he says he lost it, and that's the get, it's his, he wants it back. He says, Amar Rav Huna, turn page on the top line of Chaf Amud Beis, everybody think, Amar Rav Huna, Chayshin L'Shnei Shviri. So Rav Huna says, we can't give this get back to this person. Maybe there's two Shviris, two towns of Shviri, and maybe in both towns there's a couple with the same name, so we can't give it back to the Shliach. Maybe this get was written for somebody else, and it's going to lead to a whole churva. So Amar Li Rav Chista L'Rabba. So that's where Rav Huna paskin. So Amar Li Rav Chista L'Rabba. So Rav Chista said to Rabba, Why don't you look into this halakhic situation? Because I think tonight Rav Huna is going to ask your opinion. So this came up in the base matters today. Rav Huna Paskin, but I think he's going to ask you. I think he's going to ask you. So you know, forewarned is forearmed. So nafak dak ba'ashkach. So Rabbi went out. He analyzed it and he found our Mishnah did not kol maaseh beitin erez the yaks here. Anything which is a maaseh bezdin issued by the bezdin, we'll give it back to the owner of the document. So here, the fact that this get had a henpeck, so lechora, I should return it to him. That's the way Rabbi interprets it. So Amalei Rabbi Amram the Rabbah. So Rabbi Amram said to Rabbah, Echi Pashit Mar Isur Mamona. What type of rai is that? In other words, here you're talking about Dine Mamono. In other words, money, does A owe money to B or things like that. It's a financial matter. The get is Dine Isur, is a woman married or not married. How can I extrapolate a din isur from a din in mamon? So that's what Rav Amram says to Rabbah. So Amar Lei, 1 minute. So,
This gets with the divorce.
divorce is isur.
The
Divorce
mamon case.
in the other case, mamon. So Amar Lei. So Rabbah said back to Rav Amram, Tarda, which they translated as a lunatic. That seems kind of like a sharp type of word to use. You know, I didn't look at it, but I saw that the art school had referred to it. But there's a tshuva from the Chavos Ya'ir where he goes through a lot of Gemaras that have like sharp language, and he tries explaining each one that it doesn't mean it like the way it sounds. But he says here, Shtari Chalitza Miyunim Tanan. So he says, yeah, but in our Mishnah, It does, some number of the documents are financial documents, but it mentions, right, it mentions the Shtar of Chalitza, Shtar of Mian. That's Yisur v'Heter. So Paka Arza de Beirav. So the cedar, the tree that was supporting the structure of the Beis Medrash, like split. So he says, Mar Amar Mishum Latai Didi. What, now that we have this conversation between Rabbah and Rav Amram. So Rabbah thought it was because, or it depends which way you want to do it, either way, but Rav Amram felt it's because Rabbah had called him a tartar, like a lunatic. He says, Mishum Latai Didi Paka, Umar Amar Mishum Latai Didi Paka. And Rabbah felt that it split because on his account, because he had like challenged him with his holding with from the Mishnah. Let's see Rashi on this. The first narrow line. Well, Tarda, we have Meshu'am, is again like person not in his right mind, but where is it? There's a, if you look in the Bach, he says, Rashi also explains Tarda Shota or Atzel, either like crazy person or a lazy person. He says, back in the Rashi, Paka Arza de Beirav, the cedar and the Beis Medrash broke up. Beirav means the Beis Medrash. Nishbar Hamud should be a Medrash to Shamalav, like the beam that was supporting the Beis Medrash, you know, broke, it sounds like. He says, Mar Amar Mishum Latai Tidipaka Bashfil Mazali Shekinei Al Shegidavtani. There was my mazal. It means like everybody has a malach in Shemayim. That's what I think it means. Shekinei Al Shegidavtani. In other words, it was like avenging the fact that you had, you know, maligned me by calling me a targa. He says, Umar Amar Mishum Latai Tidipaka Shishafta Dvarai Labai Sheni Ben Medrash. Like, you gave me this response to embarrass me in the Beis Medrash. But all I can tell you is that the article quotes the Marashah here. Let me get the article out. The article says, one second, yeah. This is footnote 5. He says, the Marashah explains they were not each claiming that they had been vindicated by the calamity, and that each one was accepting responsibility for the calamity that befell the building. Each felt his fortune, his mazel, was to blame the fact that the insult or embarrassment was avenged in such a damaging manner. And then he quotes the Chubas Kavos Yair about, you know, the sharp language in public discourse. All right. So, all right. Any questions, comments, thoughts, anything we did so far? All right. We're on line 8. Everybody with me? Okay. Now, Matzaba Chapisa Obed Luskama. Again, there's like a series of cases in the Mishnah. So let's say he found a document in a Chapisa or a Luskama. So my Chapisa, what's a Chapisa? I'm a Rabbi Bar Barchana, Chemet Ketana. So look at Rashi, Chemet Ketana, around the 8th narrow line. Chemet Shel Or, Shel Nimbo Yayin. It's like, you know, like, I don't know what to call it in English, but it's like a wine bottle, but a leather wine bottle. I don't know, so does anybody think a good word in English for this? Yeah, I remember when I was younger, I was at camp, and I had something like that. I can't remember what. Anyway, but you get the idea. Anyway, he says, my Dluskema, I'm a Rabbi Shmuel, Tlikat Desabe, the box of older people. So, let's see, does Rashi have anything? Yeah, Tlikat Desabe, Taskush as Kini Matzimba, Klei Tashmishan, Shlitztarku Lechapesacharihem, a box that people put their Kalim in, so people say, want to look for it. All right, now, one second. Yeah. So Rashi in the Mishnah, if you look back on the Mishnah, it's around the eighth wide line of Rashi downstairs. Hareza Yachzir, the Dabar Sheshbo Siman Hu Farsh Gemara. It's something that has a siman, a sign, you know, who it belongs to. Shahakli siman shomru balin bekli kach bekach matzato tam. That the owner will say, you found it. In other words, the person will say, I found a document. And the owner will say, you found it in, you know, a chapis or a gluskama. V'chein tach rebuter zach, the dvar sheshbo siman hu nifarish begmar. All right, so you've got a piece here. This is from the Al Hadaf. So he mentions Rashi indicates the Mishnah is referring to a case in which the finder announces that he found a shtar without mentioning the type of container, and the claimant names the type of container that the shtar was stored in. This is considered valid identification, and the shtar with the container is returned to the claimant. Okay, that's the way Rashi
learned. You found the shtar, you said I found the shtar.
Right.
And I'm on the law circuit, I'm saying you found it in such a box.
Right, that's the way Rashi learned. That's the way Rashi learned. Tosfos on Chapam Beis proves from the Tosefta and Shvuot that it was commonplace to store documents in a vluskama, a chest. Consequently, he argues that the fact that the claimant is aware that the shtar was in a chest does not prove ownership because it's easy for one to guess that the shtar was stored there. Tosfos explains that the shtar and the chest is not given or are not given to the claimant unless he proves ownership by identifying the chest with the siman. In other words, it's not enough to say it was in a chest. It was in a chest and I have a siman on the chest. He says, once the claimant proves the chest is his, the shtar that was found in the chest is returned to him along with his chest. According to Tosfos, the finder announces that he found a shtar in a chest, and upon the claimant's identification of the chest, he's awarded both items, the chest and the shtar. So according to Tosfos, say, I found it in a kapizer, I found a gluskima, and the person says, well, here's a siman for the thing. The Shach disagrees with Tosfos on two counts. Firstly, he argues that even though it is commonplace to store documents in a chest, it is also common to store them in other types of vessels. Thus, if the finder announces that he found a shtar and does not mention that it was found in a vessel, and the creditor says he lost the shtar in a chest, his knowledge of the chest is considered valid identification of the shtar as well, and both items are returned to him. So, on the other hand, that's the Shach. On the other hand, argues the Shach, if the finder announces that he found a shtar in a chest, So if the finder says I found a shtar, I don't say what I found it in, and he says you found a chest, that's a valid identification for the shtar as well. On the other hand, argues the Shach, if the finder announces that he found the shtar in a chest, and the creditor identifies the chest and proves that the chest is his, is not considered valid proof that the shtar found in the chest is his. Also, we must entertain the possibility that the creditor loans his chest to the debtor, and the debtor stored his documents there, cheshin l'sheila. Therefore, in such a case, the Shach rules contrary to Tosfos that the documents found in the chest should not be returned to the creditor along with his chest unless he offers proof that they too are his. All right, let me go on. Now, we're back on the Gemara in Chapam Beis. Everybody listen? we're around 10 lines down at the two dots. Tachri shel shtar or aguda shel shtar kuli. So I started to explain the Mishnah the way the Maskana is, but we don't know what the Maskana is in the Gemara right now. So Tachri of shtarot means a bundle of shtarot, and aguda shel shtarot, tachrich means a roll of shtarot, and aguda shel shtarot means a bundle of shtarot. So Tana Rabbanan, kamahu tachrich shel shtarot. What is a roll of shtarot? Now, like Korech, Korech, if you think like a krach is a city with a wall around it, that's a krach, and Korech is, on Pesach, you surround the charoset, the Rav wanted to say that you surround the maror with the matzah, but it means that you surround the maror with the matzah. That would be the way it would go. Like they may have had, hello, nice to see you. Remember, very quiet if you can, okay? So don't forget your yarmulke, you have a yarmulke on? Okay, thank you. In other words, you wrap the matzah around the maror would be one way to learn it. Anyway, also a book. It was a kerach. In other words, it's good. So he says, so tachri shel shtar shloshet kruchin ze bazeh. He says that means you have three documents that are rolled up together. That's the tachri of shtarot. But kamahi aguda shel shtarot. How much is an aguda, a bundle of shtarot? Shloshet kshurin ze bazeh. Three documents that are tied to one another. So we think right now, if I have the three documents that are in a roll, let's say, look over here, Seth, okay. So the three documents roll would be like they're rolled up like that. And then if I have the three documents that are tied together, it's like, one document, another document, and then around it, there's a piece of like a rope or something that's tied. That's what we think. So he says, so Shamina Kesher Simon. So from our Mishnah, it sounds like the knot would be the siman. So as I found shtarot. He says, and you see, identify the kesher. I'm going to give it to you. Now the Gemara later on, and we'll have this, I think, on Shabbos and on Monday. So tomorrow is Chaf Aleph. So on Chaf Gimel and Chaf Hey, the Gemara is going to have a question: is kesher a siman? In other words, the next parak is going to be Elam Metziot, where your person lost something and comes up with simanim, and what's a good siman, what's not a good siman. So one question is the kesher a siman. From our Mishnah, we think it sounds like a kesher would be a siman. So the Gemara says, Atani Rabbi Chia, but Rabbi Chia taught in a brisa explaining our Mishnah that what's an agud shel shtarot, shosha kruchin zebazeh, three documents rolled one another. So ihachi hainu takrik. So if that's the case, then they're both the same. They're both rolls of documents to roll together. So we don't understand anymore. So the Gemara says, no. Takrik ko chabacha berosha dechabre. A takrik means that they're rolled together, but let's say this would be one document, and then I'm rolling it, and then when I finish one, then the next document goes on top of it like this. In other words, it's like, you know, before the one ends, the next one begins, and then the same thing with the other one. That would be takrik. And whereas agudin means that they're all lined up. They're all lined up like this, all the same thing. So he says, let's see back in the Gemara. So he says, so the Gemara says, so it means he finds these documents, they're wrapped up in a certain way, and then the Gemara says, my machriz. What does he announce? What does he announce that the person is going to identify it? So the Gemara says, minin, he'll announce how many he found. So my ear yitlato, I feel the train nami. Let's see Rashi on this. He says, my machris, amotzi my machris, meaning shloshtarot is ever going to obtain sima shekruchen ayu yachad. So we think that, let's say, if Reuben is the finder, he said, I found three documents, and the claimant will come and say that they were kruchim, or they were in an aguda. He says, so the Gemara says, so my yiritlata feel trained on me. That's the case. Why does he have to announce three documents? Why not even two documents? The Mishnah says three. Ella, it means that two would not be enough for Siman. Ella Kedama Ravina Tiva Machris. Rather, like Ravina explains elsewhere, also coming up next week, that if a person finds money, he says, I found coins. That's what you say, I found coins. So Hachanami Shtari Machris. He just says, I found Shtarot. So let's see Rashi. He says, Shtari Machris, Shtarot Matsati. He says, I found some shtarot. And the claimant has to say there were this many documents and they were kruchim or agudim. So therefore you need at least three. About trey made a yedia to me at shtarot shtayim ein minyan siman. So Rashi says, like two is not much of a siman, because if I say I found documents, I know it's got to be at least two. So only two. But if three or more, then I have a siman with it. Or what's that? Well, there could be. We saw yesterday. We were with the get. Remember, there's like if he identifies the document, he says nekev tzad ot ploni or something like that. There's a hole by this letter and things like that. That could also be a siman. But this is the simanim that we're dealing here in our Mishnah. All right.
Maybe it's the Sharia who lost it. He doesn't know what's in it. But he knows how it was folded.
That could be a good in Hasbro. Okay. All right. Let's see back in the Gemara. All right. Now we're at the two dots around six lines above where it gets wide. Everybody with me? Okay. Rabbi Shmuel Lumeir, Akhada Lova, Mishloshe, Akhzilova, Bukhule. So, different part of the Mishnah, we said that if you have one lova and three lenders, in other words, so I find three documents, that was talking about the content of the documents, and I see that in each document, Reuven borrowed money, but it's the Reuven borrowed money from, from Shimon, Reuven borrowed money from Levi, Reuven borrowed money from Yehuda, I'll give it to Reuven. So the Gemara says, Esau Kadaiha Tamaldininu, because if you'd assume that the document, in other words, did the lova lose the documents? It means that he paid it off. Would the Malva lose it? In which case, would the Malva, then it's a valid document. If you think that it belongs to the Malva and the lenders, my Bau Gabi Hadadi, why are these three documents together? So the Gemara says, Dilma Lakiuminu Asli. He says, Demikaimi. So the Gemara, no, Dilma Lakiuminu Asli. So the Gemara says, maybe the three lenders got together, and they were going to have the respective shtarot, maybe the debt or whatever, they're going to have their shtarot like verified in Beis Din. And they all got together, or they appointed a shliach to bring all the documents together to have the kiyum shtarot. So how are you so sure it belonged to the borrower? He says, so the Gemara says, the mekayimi. So the Gemara says, no, the documents already have a kiyum on them. In other words, there is a verification on them, so that's not the issue. She says, Dilma miyada desafra nafil. So the Gemara says, maybe the documents, in other words, they had brought it to the Beis Din to have a kiyum shtarot, and the Beis Din authorized the kiyum shtarot, and the sofer of the Beis Din had done the kiyum shtarot, and he, the sofer, lost all the documents. But it really belongs to the malva. So the Gemara says, Lamashi inish kiyume biyada the sofer. Heard people, like, once the kiyum is done, I want my document. In other words, once the kiyum is done, that's worth money, the document. So I'm not leaving it. I'm like, it could be that the three lenders would leave it with one person and bring the Beis Din. Once the kiyum is done, typically you want it back right away. So it's very unlikely that it came from anyone other than the lova in that case. Okay? All right. Now, three lines above where it gets wide. Shlosha shalavu me'achad yachzi l'malva v'kulei. Let's say I found three documents. So in this, the one lender, Yaakov, so it says Reuben borrowing from Yaakov, Shimon borrowing from Yaakov, and Levi from Yaakov. So I'm going to give the document to Yaakov. It says the Esau Kadaitha, the Lovin Inu, if you assume it belongs to the borrowers, my Bau Gabi Hadade. Why with all the documents together? So the Gemara says, Dilma on the Mechtavinu Asli. Maybe that they were, trying to have the debt recorded. In other words, maybe the Lovim got together and they wanted to record in other words, they each needed money, and they're each going to go to Yaakov for money, and they're each going to the sofer now to write up a document. Like that. Yeah. He says, so the Gemara says, Dichtibi betlat yadei safre. There's three different handwritings on it, so that can't be the scenario. Vidilma lekumino asli. So the Gemara says maybe it belonged to the Lova, and the Lova, each Lova, was going to be Mekayim the Shtar, and it was to have it verified. So the Gemara says, Malva Mekayim Shtari, Lova Lo Mekayim Shtari. The Malva is the one who's Mekayim Shtar, Lova is never going to Mekayim Shtar. So maybe under these circumstances, it fell from the Malva. What? Wait. So we have three IOU notes, and then with the same lender. And so the question is, do we return this document to Lova or the Malva? That's where we're entertaining the possibility. Yeah, I mean, anything could be under the sun, but as between Lova and the Malva, we're going to give it to the Malva. Okay. All right. Now, the second wide line in the Gemara. So, Imiyesha was Simpono, Yasemash was Simpono. So, this was, we don't know what the case is in the Mishnah yet, but I told you based on the Maskana, it's going to be that a person sees in his documents, he has certain documents that are ripped up, and among the ripped documents, he has a receipt which is not ripped up. So he should assume that the receipt indeed was a valid receipt and that he had written it up and Lova never picked it up. But we don't know that that's the shot in the Mishnah yet. So let's see back in the Gemara. So, Imiyeshim Simponi, Yasemash Simponot. Now, the Gemara is going to quote a lach from Yerim Bar Abba in the name of Rav. So put the Mishnah on the side. Focus on this halacha, and then we'll connect it to the Mishnah. Okay, so Amar Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba Marav Simpon Yotze Mitachet Yidei Malva Av Pisha Ketubo B'Tav Yado Iluk Misachei Kupasol. If you have a receipt that comes from the Malva, in other words, it's in his possession. There's a receipt in the possession of the Malva. Maybe the Malva is not alive anymore. Whatever, you're going through his papers, but there's a receipt there. He says, even though it's written in the handwriting of the Malva, it's just like Misachek. In other words, it's like making fun of Lova, meaning it's not, don't assume that it's paid off and it's pasul. So Lomabaya Ketub Bechtav Yad Sofer, it goes without saying that it was written by the Sofer, the Ikhil Memor Safer Trami Le Bekatav, like it could be the Malda, anticipating a future payment, and he sees the Sofer is here, I'm going to have the Sofer write it up. Pilu Ketub Bechtav Yad O Pasul. Even if the receipt is written in the handwriting of the Malva himself, you assume it's Pasul, Savar, because maybe the Malva held, Dimimitrami Ati Ben Ashmashot, maybe the Lova is going to come Friday afternoon, like towards Shabbos, he says, with Kaparali and want to pay off the debt, Dilo Yehivnale Lo Yayab Li Zuse, he says, and if I don't give him a receipt, he's not going to pay me the money. So let me write this up. If he shows up through the door, I'm going to give him, here's the receipt, give me my money. You know, that's the whole thing. So don't, but the key is that according to Rabbi Rab, the name of Rab, if a malva or the family finds a receipt among the malva's papers, don't assume that it's a valid receipt. Don't assume.
It's
what we're going to see now. So now the Gemara says, Tanan, now the Gemara brings in our Mishnah. Tanan, Yishum Simponot, Yasem Hashem Simponot. The Mishnah says that if there's a simpon, which is a receipt among the Malba's papers, we'll give it full force and effect. So that's the Mishnah, and Rabbi Yom Rab, the name of Rab, is either Amoraim, doesn't seem to look good for them. So the Gemara says, Kida Amorav Safra, Shnimsa Bein Shtarot Kuruin. So like Rav Safra is going to explain in a different sugya coming up, that it means that you found the receipt among ripped documents. In other words, the Malva had documents that were all ripped up, and it means that these like things were paid off, and then you find the receipt. Then that makes sense that the receipt is to acknowledge a payment. Hachanami Shemitza Obein Shtarot Kuruin. In other words, Rav Safra is really talking about that the Malva died. He's talking about a different sugya. The Malva died, and you found this receipt, and it's among ripped documents, so then, yeah, you can assume that it was a receipt, and he's keeping it with the ripped documents, and that he thought the logo would show up. He never showed up, and he just put it there. But he says, so with our Mishnah also, you could say that the receipt was found among the ripped documents. Then we're going to give full force and effect the receipt. But otherwise, if it's with other valid documents, I'm not going to do it. So now the Gemara is going to continue to ask questions against Rabbi Yirmiyahu bar Abba in the name of Rav. So Tashma, so we're going to bring a proof from the following brisa. Nimsala chad bein shtarotav shtaro shel Yosef ben Shimon parua. So it's talking about there's a lender and he lent money to two people with the same name, each Yosef ben Shimon. And then among his documents, it sounds like this lender may not even be alive anymore. He found a shtar that says like the debt of Yosef ben Shimon was paid off. Shtaro shteim peruim. So it says we have to assume that both of them were paid off. In other words, I don't know which one was paid off. I have to assume both were paid off. I can't go collect anymore. But that's a caution. So Rabbi Rav and Rav said we don't give full force and effect. So again, so just like Rav Safra says that when it's a case where you're going to give full force and effect to the shofar, it's that it was found among ripped documents. All right, Tashma, again, Rav Yirmi Brabas is in the Rav that we wouldn't rely on the receipt. And the cases where we do rely on the receipt, it's like there's other corroborating evidence. So Tashma, this is where you have two groups of Yatomim. In other words, the lender is dead and the borrower is dead. So now the Yatomim of the lender want to collect the debt from the Yatomim of the borrower. So Tashma Shavua, that the Yatomim of the lender have to take Shavuos before they can collect it. Shavua Shlo Pekadanu Abba. We're taking Shavua that our father never, you know, mentioned anything to us about this. Shlo Marlon Abba, he didn't say anything. Shlo Matzanu Bishutav Shlo Abba, Shistarza Parua. We didn't find anything among his documents that this debt was paid off. The implication being that if we did find it, that we would give full force and effect to it. So here's our time to shine. Amrav Safra Shnimsa Bein Shtarot Kuruin. So this is where Safra says it means, the Mishnah means, they found that they didn't find it among ripped documents. Then they would give full force and effect to it, otherwise not. Okay, let's keep moving. Maybe we'll finish the parak tonight. So Tashma Simpon Sheishlav Edim Yitkayim B'chotamav. This brisa says, if you found a simpon, which is a shovar, a simpon and shovar are the same thing, and it was a receipt, and it has witnesses on it, yit kayem b'chotamav. In other words, let's look at Rashi, last two lines. If the malva says, I never got the money for this, I never gave this document to you, the lova, yit kayem b'chotamav, al pi chotamav, yit kayem. Imachot me me'idim shechadmu, in a Malva Nema. If the people who signed the document say that's our signature, then the Malva is not believed, and we're going to give full force and effect to the receipt. The Malva says that says not, and there's a shovar that has witnesses on it, so we're going to establish, in other words, this, we think it means that the bona fides of the document will be established by the witnesses. So Ema, so the way I should understand that Brisa is, again, according to Rav Yirmiyahu Abba Leib of Rav, just the fact that the star was found, and here the Malva says, I wasn't paid back with this. In other words, the Malva says the money is still due and owing. And there's a shofar apparently found on his papers. I don't know how it came to light. So he says, I was never paid for this. But the Tana of the Brisa says, Yikayim b'chotamav, which we think means that it will say that are these to the signatures, are these your, to the witnesses, are these your signatures? And yes, then he's out of gas. So Ema, the lender. So Ema, Yikayim mechotamav. So the Gemara says, the way I should understand that Brisa is Yikayim mechotamav, that the bona fides of the document will be established from the signatories, meaning Taplayin Chafalfa Man Aleph, the Shalin Luhulisade, we're going to ask the witnesses, I parua, I lo parua. In other words, did you witness that the payment was made? In other words, not just that it's your signature, did you witness the Lova pay the debt? So if they say, yeah, he paid the debt, then indeed, they will give full force and effect to it, but otherwise not. All right. Okay. He has a receipt, the Malbit does. He says, I was never paid for this. So according to Rabbi Yirmiyahu Abba, the name of Rav, nothing to worry about. But the Tana of the Brisa says, Yitkayim b'chotamav, which we think means we'll verify the signatures on the receipt, and if the signatures match, then it's a good document. Yes, so the Gemara says it means Yitkayim mechotamav. In other words, that we'll consult with the witnesses and ask them, did you witness the payment on of the debt? If they say, yeah, we saw the money transferred from the Lova to the Malva, then indeed the Malva is cooked, but otherwise not. Okay? Okay, now, let's see back in the Gemara. Yeah. Okay, now, okay, the second line. So Tashma, Simpon Sheishlav Edim Kasher. So this Brisa says, if you have a Simpon that has Edim, it's Kasher. So that also seems to clash against Rabbi Rabbah by the name of Rav. So my Edim, Edei Kiyum. What does it mean, Edim? It means Edei Kiyum. It means not just Stam Edim, but there was a Kiyum on the star. The Kiyum on the star, a verification in the Bezdin of the star, and we do the verification of the Bezdin, not only do they identify the signatures, they bring the Malva, the Lova, and things like that, so then indeed you'll have full force and effect. Hachinami Mistabra, the Ketani Seifa. And that's logical, because we learned in the Seifa that Brisa, Mishra'enel Av Edim, Pasul. If it doesn't have Edim, it's Pasul. So, my ain't a love Adam. What does it mean, no Adam? He labeled like a Adam. Klal, if there's no Adam on the document, speak of Amar, the Pasul, you have to tell me it's Pasul. I have a document with no Adam, and it's a zero to begin with. A love Ade Kiyum. It means that there were no Ade Kiyum. So it means the way we're explaining this Brisa, if you come in with a Shobar, but it's got a henpeg from the Bezdin, then it's definitely, then it's a valid document. Okay? All right. Now, going for the kill now. Yeah, Gufa. Simpon Sheishlav Edim Yikayim B'chotamav. So we said this was the Brisa on the last Amud. If you have a Simpon that has Edim Yikayim B'chotamav, we said it meant that we're going to consult the Edim and ask whether they witnessed the payment. Einalav Edim, if there are no Edim, now when it says Einalav Edim, it means that there are Edim on the document, because there's no Edim on the document, it's not even a document, but it means there's no Edim, you know, for the Kimash of the document. But it's being produced by a third party, not the Malva, not the Lova. A third party produces this receipt. Or it's written, in other words, you have the IOU note, and then at the bottom of the IOU note, we have the receipt is written out with Adam as well. He says, Kasher. So the Gemara says, Yotze mitachi de shalish, if it's from produced by a third party, Dahim Malva Lishlish. In other words, the Malva apparently believed this third party. Let's see, Rashi. Dahim Malva Lishlish, Da Korcha in Kotev Shovar El Malva. In other words, the only one who's going to write this receipt is the Malva, and it has Edom on it. He gave it to a third party. So if the third party says, here it is, and whatever he says, if he says it's paid off, whatever, then we believe him. He says, Yotzei. And there's a different case if the shovar is written after the text of the IOU note, had it not been paid off, the story. The Malva never would have impaired his document by having a receipt on the IOU note unless it had been paid off. You completed the first parak in Bava Metzia. Let me just do one line. First, but it's not compared to what's coming up. It's easy. Okay, now, when you get to the I told you that we have, Ezu Hazahav and Ezu Nesha here are hard. Okay, now, I have a little bit of story here, and that'll be it. Okay, so today's story. Upset Michael's not here because of the doctor's story, but he says here it's just like, you know, sort of like a touch connected to the daf. Today's daf discusses the mitzvah of returning a lost object to its owner. So a certain doctor was having a rather difficult time. People would come to his house at all hours and expect him to be there available to treat them. Very often this interfered with his personal life, and he wondered if he could possibly refuse to treat a patient unless it was a real emergency. There were no other doctors in his neighborhood, but he was tired of being everyone's korban. This doctor approached the Satmar Rav for help. The hapless physician asked, "Perhaps I can refuse, since the language of the Gemara is that a doctor has permission to treat." In other words, Rishut Rofe Larapo. He says, "If so, I have no obligation to treat unless the case of Pikuach Nefesh." The Satmar Rav disagreed. A doctor is obligated to heal any sick Jew that approaches him. The obligations include in the mitzvah of Hashavat Aveda. When a certain Talmud Chacham heard about this exchange, he was very amused. In other words, the Satmar Rav says Hashavat Aveda. He says, the next day he went to Zichron Moshe to Davin. You know where Zichron Moshe is? I don't know where it is, but he says, and while there, he recounted the Rebbe Shechidah he had heard from the Satmar Rav. When he was finished, he began to chuckle. Although, even from his tone, it was clear that he felt this psak was shoddy scholarship at the very least, one of the many erudite scholars present put an end to his fun. "Please don't laugh at the one who knows better than you," meaning the Satmar Rav. Instead, just listen to the words of the Rambam's commentary on the Mishnah. The scholar then proceeded to read the golden words of the Rambam. The doctor is obligated from the Torah to treat sick Jews. This is included in the verse, I think it means, Vashevoto lo. That was, you return the lost object to the person. He says, and he shall restore it to him. Which teaches that when we see another Jew is ill, we must help him with our bodies, money, or knowledge. In other words, you have to, return him to his good health. Okay, let me...